The next thing that happens is Joshua's going, you know, we've got Jericho out here. This is a huge fortified city. How on earth are we, a whole bunch of Israelites, going to be able to take this thing down? And God tells him, don't worry about it. I got it. He tells us, don't worry about whatever it is in front of you. Whatever it is, I've got it. So something really stupid that they do. I mean, really stupid. He says, go, march around the city. You want me to do what? You want me to go and march around the city? You know, they've got fortified walls. There's people up there. They've got bows and arrows and everything else. What on earth is going to happen to us? I mean, we're just little Israelites here. We've been walking in a stinking desert for 40 years. What is going to happen? And Joshua says, because he just met with Christ, what you want of me, Lord, I'll do. So stupid as it sounds, the Israelites get together and they walk around the city. Do that every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he says, okay, we're going to change it up a little bit. I want you to walk around the city 7 times. Okay, I've done it stupidly for the last 6 days. I'll go ahead and do this one here. So you get 2 million people, whatever it is, that are walking around the walls of Jericho for, you know, 7 times. And then they blow trumpets. Unbelievable. Again, doing what God tells them to do. Recognizing it's not them that are doing it. They're prepared to go to battle as best they can, but they don't know what to do. You know, that God has told them, do this. So they walk around the 7 times, they blow the trumpets, and y'all know the walls come tumbling down. The battle is won because the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle is not ours. So all the stuff that this body of believers is going to, we just need to give that up to the Lord and recognize that this is all the Lord's battle. It's not our battle. Love the story. Mark did a great job of going into all of the good stuff for how to get there. You know, that they come in and they get to eat. Not the stuff that they planted, not the stuff that they worked to break the ground on, not the stuff that they had to go out and water, that they had to go out and weed, and that they had to pray was going to come up and give them a harvest. They walked in and the harvest was ready for them already because this was Passover. That's that time of year when everything is ready for the harvest. And so they get to harvest the stuff that they didn't plant. This is God's provision for us. We just need to take it. We need to step in faith in everything that we do. So I don't know if everybody got kind of the message that Mike was trying to give, that I'm trying to do. But if you've got any questions on this stuff, I'd kind of like to know them because I want to try to clear it up. Because one of the things that we have discovered over the last years is that we can send a message and you guys receive something else. And so we want to make sure that there's clarity. I mean, I just remember this thing all the way back from when I was in high school. One of the few things I learned in high school. Basically, there's this whole sender and receiver thing. We can send a message and then you receive something that wasn't even said. And then you're kind of going, well, I don't know what you mean by that. I have no idea. What did you really say? And so that's what this time is here, is the time to get clarity on what got sent. And I'm hoping to hear from somebody so I know what got received. Because receiving is important. Somebody want to share with me what you just heard?
I want to just expound on that a little bit. You said that whatever anybody in the body is going through, we give it to him. But also, if one of us is going through it, all of us is going through it. So we need to be sharing with each other so we can all be praying.
Absolutely true. I had breakfast with Tyler on Friday. And in our conversation, I was going, you know what? We are one body. One body. If the foot hurts and is not telling the rest of the body that the foot hurts, guess what? We're walking that mile and a half, and you know, when we get there, that foot's going to be way disappointed because it never said it hurt. It never said that it needed prayer. It never said that there was an issue that needed to come up. So we can't do this because we are one body. You know, we all need to help each other. So I really need to hear what you guys heard.
The Promised Land. And, you know, it was just you know, for a lot of those people, it was like, what? He's been feeding us all this time. Well, you know, here you are. Take the step forward. And
I would caution everybody, because you are absolutely true, we do have to take that step. But don't take the step until God's told you to take it. Don't do it in your own power. In your own power, you will fail. But once God tells you to take the step, take it in faith.
I really love the picture of stepping into the water, making that move in faith, because the point of, okay, God, show me, right? The moment presents itself. The opportunity presents itself. And in that moment, we want the green light, right? So we're waiting for that green light of go. But we have to feel the green light. We see the moment, and it wasn't parted for them until they took that step. I think that that is a really powerful visual for us as well, that when I visualize the Red Sea parting, for example, it was already parted, and once they saw that, they crossed. But the crossing of the Jordan was a little bit of a different scenario where it wasn't presented to them clear ahead. They had to make that conscious step to make it clear for them and work with God, not follow God, if that makes sense, which I thought was really interesting and a different take versus like the parting of the Red Sea, like I always visualize. I don't remember the crossing of Jordan in studying before, so I've always visualized the crossing of the Red Sea as this huge just clearing of the way, and this is different. This is a different scenario, and I think that it's really equally, if not more, beautiful because it required the people to clear the way. It didn't clear until they took that step, is what I'm saying. I just thought that's really beautiful and easily applied to us walking in faith. It's not always going to be green light, here's the clear path. You know, you have to work with the Lord in order for the path to clear.
There is a little bit of a partnership. There absolutely is. God calls us to do all kinds of things. He calls us to be disciples. He calls us to be disciplers. And so there is a job that we play in everything that happens. It's just always important to rest in Christ because those jobs are scary. I don't want to do most of those jobs. Believe me, I for sure don't want to do most of those jobs. They are scary. I'd rather die in the desert on a good portion of those rather than step out in faith and do the hard stuff. Once we learn to discern God's voice, to hear what he's doing in us, then we learn to be responsive to that and step in that water. It's okay. I'm gonna split it. It's going to be fine.
We watched that program on Netflix about Moses and the plagues and how they related to, they were like the opposite of the gods that were being followed. And then when they got to the Red Sea and God parted it, they still grumbled, even though the path was already cleared for them. So perhaps in that 40 years that they wandered in the desert, they finally built up enough faith to step into the water.
Good observation. Okay, I've heard from a couple of ladies. I want to hear from a guy.
Well, you're speaking on about messages sent and received. And if I can just speak in general terms. So it seems to me the message being sent is that there is a vision where you guys see this church body going, and that we cannot get to that place unless we step out in faith as a body, as the church. So as far as message sent and message received, that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm just listening for the next things coming down the pike to see where we need to go from there.
Thank you. Jesus is the promised land. What that looks like, we will be going over for the next few weeks, but Jesus is the promised land.
It's always been interesting to me that Moses gave the law right when they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. The law was given again right before they crossed the Jordan with one change. The second time the law was given 40 years later, this was added to it. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That was the key.
That is the message. God needs us and wants us to trust in him, and he'll show the way.
Whoa, I love it. Okay, we're going to do communion a little bit different today. So I want everybody to stand up, and the communion table is in the back there. So get around the communion table. In all the examples that we have in the New Testament about communion, it always involves a meal. And since we're getting ready to go next door and share a meal, I wanted us to start as the first course to remember what it is that we're doing and why it is that we're doing this, and that it is all about sharing a meal. Sharing with each other, about sharing our gifts with each other, about sharing our encouragements with each other, and helping people to be who they are in Christ, to see who they are in Christ. So I want everybody to come grab a piece of the body. So I'm going to ask to tell us what communion means to him.
It just means showing your appreciation for God, connecting with him, really like showing that he's a part of our lives and taking the body and the blood.
Amen. Thank you very much. So as we partake of the bread, remember Christ.
It renews your youth like the eagles. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You bore all my diseases. By your stripe, I'm healed from whatever condition you are dealing with. By his stripe, cancer is gone. By his stripe, restless leg syndrome is no more. Headaches are gone. Healthy babies are being born. His healing is his children's bread. Our healing is his children's bread. This cup is the new covenant written in your blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. This is the new covenant, Christ's blood shed for us, as Betsy just said. So as we partake, please remember Christ. Everybody being here and being a part of this. And so we thank you.